Readings for January 29th, 03, Hebrews 10, 11 to 18, Mark 4, 1 to 20.
It would be an interesting exercise to count how many times the word "word" comes in this explanation of the parable. It's all about the Word and the career of the Word. What happens to the Word? The truth that's given to us. Who is the living God? Jesus Christ. The Word sown in our hearts. Matthew, as I think I pointed out before, has a very interesting word that's not in Mark at this point. He says, you know, he contrasts those who understand and those who don't understand as the difference in receiving the word. Understand means the word in Greek means to sort of put together, to make the connection. So here we have in the letter to the Hebrews, and I wanted to reflect on this because we've been going through Hebrews every day a little bit. First is the contrast between the daily liturgy of the Jewish rite, which was given by God to them. What a privilege. God instructed them on how to worship. And as St. Thomas Aquinas says, you know, their implicit faith in those sacramenta brought them into union with God. Because all those things that they were doing pointed to Christ and were filled with efficacy because of Christ, not the way our sacraments are. Because our Lord is living, active, present in his body through these sacraments, most particularly, of course, the Eucharist, where he's there himself. But here's one of the, he points the greatness of this gift of the liturgy out, but then he's not slow to point out its weaknesses. Every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently the same sacrifices. And now we come to the key he's pointed out so many times before, that can never take away sins. It can allow you to come back with God's people and to worship if you offer sacrifices for your sins, but to take them away. Now, you know, next time you're saying the rosary, take one of the mysteries to just think about, what does it mean to take away sin? Remember, we're dealing with a being, spirit and matter, who has, as it were, a quasi-infinity about them. Man is kapax dei, yeah? Man is capable of God. Sin is an incredibly deep, profound, twisted, dark reality. God just doesn't erase the book, you know, and say, oh, well, forget it. No. To take away sin is a divine act. So all these things, this rite, the only reason we know now the poverty of that rite is because of the wealth of our rite, which is Jesus Christ, who died in an act of love on the cross and replaced all the other rites. And if we don't know what it means for us to experience the taking away of sins, what he calls earlier the purification of our conscience, we don't understand the difference between the old covenant and the new. To take away sins. But this one offered one sacrifice for sins. Now, these are standing daily ministering, and he takes his seat forever at the right hand of God. He has done, and he sits now forever. He doesn't have to minister that way anymore. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool, another allusion to Psalm 110, right? because he's at the right hand of God, which is, you know. For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. This is one of the few times this word perfect is used of the believers. He used three times of Jesus that he was made perfect. I think I explained that. Well, first, through that power of the act of love in which he died, moved by the fire of the Holy Spirit, he produced the most perfect act of love, surrender, and embracing of the plan of the Father that a human heart could imaginably do. So he was brought to moral perfection by that act. He changed in life. I mean, he grew. Huh? He grew in grace, it says already in Luke. And secondly, through that act, he was rendered apt in his humanity and rendered apt for eternal life. He had to pass through the cross in order to regain his place in heaven. He had to. That was the plan of the Father. That plan that they had agreed on from all eternity that he carried out. So he was made perfect because his whole humanity was so changed and transformed that it's apt for eternal life to be plunged into the very depth of the Trinity and to reveal the Trinity. And thirdly, he was made a priest. And this one is not as easy to get, but it comes from the fact one of the most common ways to describe a man being made a priest in the Old Covenant is to say that his hands were filled. That is, he had something to offer. His hands were filled. But when the Greek translators were trying to translate that, when they put the Bible into Greek, that didn't make any sense. To a Greek, fill his hands made no sense. So they translated it perfect. And so it means he was ordained a priest to the act of love in which he died. Now it says, for by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. So if we are yielding to this work of the Holy Spirit which flows from the cross, we are being brought to a moral perfection. We are being rendered apt for eternal life, and each in our own way is being made a priest. Because the heart of Christ's priesthood is to give your life to the Father forever. Now there is a ministerial priesthood, which some of us are privileged to share, which is precisely centered around the Eucharist and has as its goal to make again present historically in symbol, but really, Jesus in the act of love in which he died, so that we can share in this. And he goes on to quote Jeremiah, and, you know, I'll put my law in their hearts and write it on their minds and so forth. And then he also says, their sins and evil doing I will remember no more. So where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer offering for sin. So we are not offering this in the desperate hope that the Lord will accept this to forgive our sins. That's done. We are offering this so that we can share, that we can be made perfect, those of us who are being consecrated by the action of the Holy Spirit day by day. And that's our way of life. That's why our whole life is meant to be this worship of God. So let's stand and pray.